This is Lori Sonkin with WRFI Community Radio News. Joining us by telephone this evening from Scotland is Celeste McGovern. Celeste McGovern is an investigative journalist. She's written for a number of publications. She currently writes for the British magazine What Doctors Don't Tell You. She also has worked for news organizations in Canada and the United States. Tonight we're going to talk about her work on contaminated or dirty vaccines. Welcome to the program, Celeste McGovern.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lori.
So, Celeste, to begin, can you explain what is a dirty vaccine? What are the studies you've reported it on, and who are the authors, and what have they shown?
Well, the studies that I looked at, I was directed to a study by Antonietta Gatti, who is a specialist in the field of nanodiagnostics. She's an Italian researcher, and what she did was she basically employed state-of-the-art nanotechnology, looking at, or microscopy, using an electron. It's called a field emission gun environmental electron scanning microscope. And she took 44 samples of 30 vaccines, including one veterinary vaccine. The rest were human vaccines. And she just basically investigated them using this new technology.
And what did she find? What was in them?
Well, as they reported in the study, published in a journal called International Journal of Vaccines and Vaccination by Antonietta Gatti in January. And what Antonietta Gatti found was that their findings, they actually described, baffled them. There were particles and aggregates of organic debris and metals that are not listed on the ingredients list for vaccines. They named metals including lead, tungsten, gold, chromium, and iron in very in detectable levels. We have to mention that these metals like lead, have no acceptable level. There's no safe exposure level for a metal like lead, which is a known neurotoxin, which has been established to lower children's IQs. And so these are very alarming findings.
Your study also says that some of the metals are linked to autoimmune diseases and leukemia as well, I think.
Yes, and Dr. Gatti cites papers within that that... within her own paper, she cites research that links metals to these heavy metals and toxic metals to leukemia in children. And as well, they do have a role in autoimmune disease.
So, you know, my concern here is, I guess my question is, are you sure that we are not fear-mongering? And the reason that I ask this is, you know, we have a new president, and he one of the things that he has said he's going to do is he wants to start up a new commission again on the linkage between autism and vaccines, and he's spoken with Robert Kennedy Jr., who will lead this commission if it in fact happens. And in response to that, all these doctors, 300 medical and health groups, and in addition, the New York State chapters of the American Academy of Pediatrics, they all wrote to Trump and they said, hey, don't do this, don't. There is no link between autism and vaccines. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that studies like this tell us that we do need oversight in the vaccine industry. Gatti's study was done independently, and I began looking then for other studies within the industry, and I published a follow-up study last week that from the industry itself. Now, adjuvants are something that is added. It's one ingredient in a vaccine that is added, and most often this is aluminum, the metal aluminum, which is neurotoxic in itself, and we're told that at the tiny levels that it's in vaccines, it's safe. But what we found is that the industry itself knows they have a problem even keeping the aluminum adjuvants pure. So in a paper published in 2015 in the journal Vaccine, which is described as the preeminent journal of the vaccine industry, they found that all of the vaccine adjuvants, so that's just the one ingredient, were contaminated with metals. And there is nobody, as far as I can tell, adding up the accumulation, like what is the sum of these contaminants with increasing exposures and the increasing number of vaccines in children. And I think that just the fact that this question is unanswered, I put these questions to the FDA and the CDC last week and have not received answers yet. That speaks to the need for some oversight. If we have as well a history of contamination in the vaccine industry, I mean known contamination with bacteria and viruses, there's a long history of contamination within the industry. In 2014, the U.S. FDA ordered GlaxoSmithKline to review its manufacturing operation for the flu vaccine because it found microbes in purportedly sterile rooms. In 2013, Merck had to recall a Gardasil batch when glass particles were discovered in several vials. In 2009, more than 40,000 doses of the meningitis C vaccine for babies were withdrawn from the British market after they were found to be contaminated with a blood poisoning bacteria. I found literally dozens of these examples. And often, these things come to light after they've been sent out and injected. And then we're told, oh, no, you know, there wasn't really a problem. The vaccines are safe and effective. We just hear that. And yet there's enough of a history here. There's enough smoke that I think that we should definitely have. There is definitely room for independent investigation.
Robert Kennedy, who I mentioned earlier, he has an article right now published in The Ecologist, and he says that he has 6 children. He had all of them vaccinated. He's not anti-vaccine, but he makes the point that when he was a boy in 1954, doctors recommended 5 vaccines. Now, children can't go to school without at least 56 doses of 14 vaccinations by the time they are 18. And, you know, a friend of mine who's a doctor made the point, which I thought which was a good one, is that we even give babies vaccinations for hepatitis B. You can only get hepatitis B from sharing a dirty needle with someone or having sex with someone that has hepatitis B. So my question to you is, do you get flu vaccines? Do you have children? Do you get them vaccinated?
Well, all of my children are vaccinated, but I think the evidence is increasing that there are problems. There are safety problems within the industry, and there are problems with the oversight agencies. There is corruption within the CDC. We've heard about the whole movie Vaxxed is about whistleblowers that have come forward from, William Thompson, a whistleblower within the CDC, came forward and said that they cooked the data on autism. I mean, these are things that the mainstream media is not reporting and that the oversight agencies have not addressed. And I think there is just so much evidence pouring out right now about a compromised system. And then also we have new studies like this where you see no one's ever looked at the end products. Why aren't these things looked, you know, there's no evidence that they are actually testing babies and, you know, adults vaccines as well at the end stage for inorganic contamination, that is metals. And there's no evidence that they're actually looking at the effect of these contaminants in synergy, like what is the effect of aluminum with trace lead?
Multiple toxins. What's the effect of multiple toxins?
And in the very extensive vaccination schedules now, I mean, if you're getting kids that are going in for 9 vaccines at a time, maybe in 3 injections, but they're still getting a load of aluminum. And then what was astonishing about the vaccine study, now this is not Gaddy's study, but this is from the industry itself. This is from one of the lead scientists on this study was from Brandtag, which is the manufacturer of the aluminum adjuvant. So they're basically taking the aluminum metal to use as something to prime the immune system to respond. And they acknowledged that they found different levels of contaminants in every sample that they tested and said, well, and this was a 2015 study saying, well, we better start looking at this throughout the manufacturing process and down the line. And they acknowledged that they can't remove these things. So my question is, so what is the load that children are getting? And are there hot lots? Are there lots that are contaminated with more lead? And what the heck is any lead doing in a vaccine? If the World Health Organization says that there is no place for lead, that there is no safe exposure, and particularly for children whose brains are developing, how is it that we are not monitoring a load of vaccines for infants? I mean, the figure is now, I think, as you said, 54, but I had read 69 by 18. So show me the study showing that children are not receiving levels of lead. They haven't even tabulated how much lead children are getting. This is not even a discussion about aluminum or thimerosal. This is a discussion about lead.
You know, one reason why we may have not seen very much oversight might have something to do with the fact that Big Pharma is one of the nation's largest political donors in our country. They gave something like, according to Robert Kennedy, $31 million last year to national political candidates. Anyway, Celeste, we are out of time, but
okay.
I thank you so much for talking with our listeners today. This is very interesting. I've been speaking with Celeste McGovern. She is a independent journalist and an investigator who writes for publications in the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain. Thank you so much, Celeste.
Thank you, Lori.